5:45 p.m. News from the Boo will give you an inside look into what's happening at KBOO, including upcoming events, station news, special programming, and future goals and plans for the station.
Be sure to tune in this Wednesday and every Wednesday after the KBOO Evening News for News from the Boo, an insider look into your community radio station.
It's 11 o'clock. You're tuned to KBOO Portland. Coming right up, it's the Recovery Zone. Today, Stuart Watson is the guest, along with other guests that will be on the air with Stephanie Potter. Hopefully you can call in with your issue. And we have a disclaimer. Okay.
In signing off from Air Cascadia this morning, I inadvertently said the 26th, when in fact it's the 27th, as the whole world knows. Thanks,
Chris. Okay. What else was I going to say? Oh, here we go. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the Garden Spout, specializing in indoor gardening equipment, including horticultural lighting, environmental control, hydroponic and organic ingredients, and pest control. The Garden Spout is located at 4532 Southeast 63rd, just south of Foster in Portland. Information at 503-788-GROW, and also by Hopworks Urban Brewery, committed to creating world-class food and organic beer as sustainably as possible at their carbon-neutral eco brew pubs. Hopworks is located at Southeast 29th and Powell Boulevard, and Hopworks Bike Bar is at North Williams and Shaver. Available on draft and in bottles throughout Cascadia. Information at 503-232-HOPS or hopworksbeer.com. Here comes the Recovery Zone.
Hi. You're tuned to KBOO Portland. This is the Recovery Zone, a show focused on healing our world. Healing our conflicts could go a long way toward healing the world, and my guests today come from Resolutions Northwest, the largest nonprofit mediation center in the state of Oregon. Stuart Watson is their neighborhood mediation program coordinator. He's an experienced mediator, and he also helps train volunteer mediators and mediates the more difficult, complex cases that come along. He's also brought in with him Sandy Backrack. She's in charge of Spanish language services there, and Renee Beauvais, mediation specialist. And they're going to be doing a little improv about how this actually works later in the show, so that'll be kind of interesting to hear. Stuart will be doing, for people who'd like to call in about something that's bugging you, go ahead and do it. If you've been hesitating, for instance, to talk to a neighbor or a coworker, a family member, landlord or tenant about something that's bothering you, give us a call, and Stuart can help clarify the issues and give you some practical tips and encouragement to get that conversation going. So that's right, Stuart?
That's correct.
Okay, and maybe Sandy and Renee will be doing the same thing for us. So, and the number here, too, is 503-231-8187. I want to welcome all of you, and as we're waiting for the calls to come in, why don't you start off just by telling us a little about Resolutions Northwest. One of the things I thought was really great is that it's free. Is that really the case?
Yeah, thanks for having us. Resolutions Northwest has many different programs, all focused around conflict management, conflict resolution, training, and social and equity justice. And we'll tell you a bit more about some of those programs. The one program that we really want to emphasize is our neighborhood mediation program. That's the one in which we provide free mediation services for neighbors in the city of Portland. And I also want to mention that there are similar neighborhood organizations that provide mediation in other parts of the county, in Gresham, Beaverton, there's one in Vancouver. So in terms of neighborhood mediation, we're not a unique program. Mm-hmm.
But you are here in Portland and you are free. So people can call in to your program with, like, this is really bothering me. This person's chopping a tree down. I can't bear it anymore or something. And you guys will help them figure out how to work it out with the neighbor, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And how many people use this each year? I mean, is this something that's, like, I read that it was the biggest thing in Oregon. Is a lot of people coming in to use your services?
Yeah, that's referring to our organization as a nonprofit conflict dispute resolution
the
center.
The whole Resolutions Northwest.
Yeah,
okay.
It's one of the largest in the region. And in terms of number of cases, it varies year to year. We typically do between 300 and 400 per year. And it's a range of different types of cases. And when I say neighborhood mediation, that might mean next door neighbors, neighbors down the street. It can be houses, apartment neighbors, a resident and a neighboring business, landlord tenant, and it even roommates, because you know, a lot of people have shared housing, mm-hmm. and we want them to have the services as well.
How about family members then as roommates? Is that, did you go that far?
We occasionally will do that if it's really focused on the logistics of living together. Family mediation cases tend to be a lot more complex and take a lot of staff time and care. So the more family dynamics cases are, we also do those, but it's not a free service.
It's a more separate category. So the free service is anything to do with a neighbor. That's a lot. Coworkers, landlords, tenants, that's people next door, people in the house that you share a room with. Anyway, it's free, so how is it funded? I mean, how does this work?
Yeah, the funding comes from the City of Portland through the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, and they've been funding this program for many years. It used to be housed within the city, and about a decade ago, it began being operated by Resolutions Northwest.
Okay, so it's like the city's paying for this, basically.
The city is paying for this.
To keep us from shooting each other.
Yes, there's a real commitment on behalf of the city to both provide neighbors and neighborhoods with conflict resolution options, and also part of their interest in it is training more people in the community to have conflict resolution skills. So, and we can tell you more about that. We have a year-long mediator training program.
Mm-hmm. And how does that go?
Well, people start with this in January with a week-long training, and then they commit to a year of volunteer service. In which they come in one day a week for 3 hours, and we do practice skill development, and then they get on the phones and they talk to people who've called in with conflicts, and they help coach them and bring them to the table, and the volunteers actually provide the neighborhood mediation service.
And this is also a free program, the training? Or it's free except that you commit to a year of volunteering with the organization later on.
Yes. At this point, we take 12 lucky people a year into this program. Mm-hmm. And it's no cost to them. So it's a year-long sort of a mediation internship.
Wow. And do you have a huge bunch of people trying to get into it every year?
We have about 100 people each year.
Really?
And yeah, so we've devised different ways over time to try to fairly choose the 12 that stay the year with us.
What are sort of your selection criteria?
Well, currently we're beginning our selection criteria with a random process where we just randomly select about 30 people to interview.
Uh-huh.
And
And out of 100, you only take 30 to even check out.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that's like the lottery almost.
It is like a lottery. Yeah. That's the most fair way that we've been able to figure out how to do this.
Yeah. And so, and then as you're going through that, what are the sort of characteristics that you're looking for?
Yeah, it's a good question. A lot of people think that we are looking for people that have a huge background in conflict resolution or mediation, you know, degrees in it. But we actually have an interest in training whoever has a calling to serve the community in this way.
And you just figure out how they have a calling or what the calling or...
Yeah, just based on their interest in, you know, conflict resolution and being a community peacemaker, mm-hmm. their openness to doing some real personal work, because it's a challenging place to put yourself when you decide that you are willing to be between two people who are in conflict and... Yeah. You know, try to help them navigate through it.
Yeah, I can imagine. And what made you decide you wanted to be a conflict mediation person?
Well, for me, I think there's a big part of it where I was training conflict resolution for a job that I was in, mm-hmm. and I got progressively more interested in... how is this going to really happen in an effective way? Because a lot of the trainings I'd seen gave steps, but there wasn't a lot of heart to it. So that was part of it, is just, I just noticed this is what I'm interested in. But I think also...
Sort of like a formula, but not really making that connection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I became really interested in what does... You know, what does really build compassion between people uh-huh. and connection? And I think part of the reason that I became interested in that is because I personally have experienced challenges connecting with people growing up and in my life. And so, you know, the very self-serving notion of wanting to figure out, how do I do this well myself?
Right.
How do I work well with people?
Right.
So that was a motivator. And then I think I might be just honestly a little bit of a voyeur, where I just sort of like seeing into people's lives and what makes them tick.
Yeah. I'm sure it's fascinating. I mean, just what you see going on with people when they're really being just totally honest about this is really, yeah. And how about you, Sandy? What brought you into it?
Thanks for asking. So I always sort of say I came into mediation through the back door. I have been working with Latino communities in Portland for about 2 decades now. And before working at Resolutions Northwest, I was doing a lot of community education with Latinos, helping do travel training, providing basic budgeting for low-income people in English and Spanish, so a wide variety of things. And so when Resolutions Northwest was looking to expand their services for Spanish-speaking Latinos, it was, for me, really an opportunity just to continue to provide access and information for the Spanish-speaking Latino community. So that's how I came into it. Uh-huh. I think why I stayed is that it is, well, the voyeur thing really got to me too. Definitely like knowing about what's going on inside of people's minds. It's great, interesting work. I'm thinking right now about, you know, different cases that we see. I'm thinking about your program, Stephanie, Healing Our World. Right now we have a neighborhood mediation case between a white neighbor and a Latino neighbor. And some of what they need is interpreting services, because they really just haven't been able to talk. And some of what they need is mediation services. And we can really sort of bring those two things together and hopefully heal their world.
Yeah. Well, it's really cool that you have Spanish as a part of this. And I read on your website, you, besides Spanish, if people have other language, like there's a lot of Vietnamese and Chinese and this and that, you guys can get access to those interpreters too?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we use just the International Language Bank or other interpreters that we sort of have within our cadre of volunteers. But Spanish is a language and sort of community, Spanish-speaking community that have more direct access service to. But we can provide services to other communities as well.
And how about you, Renee? What turned you into a mediator?
Yeah, well, I'm one of these people that have had several careers. So my first career path was a registered nurse, and then I took a career path into social work. And through that, discovered an opportunity to take a conflict resolution mediation course.
Through Resolutions Northwest or somewhere else?
It was through a different organization, but one of the things that I discovered was Resolutions Northwest through this opportunity. So I took the conflict resolution training, the mediation training, and just like my cohorts here, I got hooked. And so for me, it's been, I've been a community mediator now for about 17 years.
Wow.
So I've seen lots of cases, seen lots of interesting things. And I would also encourage anybody who has sort of a calling or semi-calling, as Stuart said, to go ahead and apply for our volunteer program. One of the unexpected outcomes for me of taking this path and walking through the door of conflict resolution was that I've been blessed to have opportunities to take these skills abroad. And so I've been fortunate enough to be one of a few mediators who have gone over to East Africa and into the Rwanda, Burundi, Democratic Republic, Congo, Kenya area, Tanzania, and sharing different conflict resolution models and styles.
Wow.
It has also recently opened the door for me to work with inmates in the prison system. So you never know what might happen when you fill out that application. So I would encourage you, if you just aren't even sure, just go ahead and to see what happens.
Yeah, it sounds fascinating. I mean, you really, it just opens a million doors for you in a lot of ways, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. It opens your heart first, and then it opens doors.
That's beautiful. Yeah. So I want to let listeners know you're tuned to the Recovery Zone on KBOO Portland. We have Sandy Backrack, Renee Beauvais, and Stuart Watson, all from Resolutions Northwest here. And it provides free and low-cost mediation services and also training. They're willing to demonstrate how this works on our show right now. So if you have an issue with a neighbor, a coworker, a roommate, landlord, tenant, just give a call here at KBOO, 503-231-8187. And Stuart or Sandy can help clarify, or Renee, some of the practical tips and clarify your issues and then provide practical tips and encouragement just to get the conversation going with the person that's bugging you. 503-231-8187. And so we were going to maybe do a sample sort of conflict resolution here with Sandy and Renee acting as they have a problem with each other, and then Stuart was going to counsel them. Is that how that was supposed to work?
Well, we thought it would be more fun for people to hear a snippet of what a mediation sounds like versus describing how it works.
Right. So maybe we could just get that going. Who? What are you guys going to be talking about? What's the problem? Or maybe I'll let Stuart just guide the whole thing.
Yeah, I'd be glad to.
Okay.
So typically when we schedule mediations, they are 2 hours.
Okay.
And we nearly always use the full 2 hours. So we're going to try to demonstrate in just a few minutes, maybe 10 minutes or so, sort of the heart of how it sounds. And so we'll just begin by imagining that we've already done our full opening, and part of that includes making sure everybody's clear about the confidentiality of the process.
That's really important, right?
Extremely important.
Right.
And that it's voluntary, that they're all choosing to be there because they really want to have something positive happen. And so both of those are important for creating a sense of safety in the process. So pretending that we've done that part already, I would just ask each of you to say the name you're playing with today, and maybe just take a couple minutes to describe what you're hoping to get out of this mediation.
So my name is Sarah, and I've been living in the apartment where I live. I moved in 3 months ago with my son, and when we moved in, our downstairs neighbor Connie has just she's just not very kind. She's kind of rude, and she is really unfriendly, and you know, we just moved into this community and we were really hoping that we'd have a good relationship with our neighbors. We've had good relationships in the past, but she complains about us. She called the manager on my son and I. It's just the two of us. And she doesn't come talk to us. And I can't get kicked out of here because of this one mean neighbor. This is my home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks for being brief about that, Sarah. And I'm just going to reflect back what I'm hearing is important to you here. Being that you've been there just a few months, I was hearing you say that there's... that you are there with, did you say son? Or?
Yeah, my son.
Your son, and what's his name?
His name's Jack.
Okay, you and Jack living there, and that you have one particular neighbor that you've wanted to have maybe more friendliness with and more sense of maybe warmth and welcoming living there, and that you're aware that Connie has placed some complaints about you and Jack, and it's a little concerning to you, both because this is the first time in your history that you've had any difficulties with a neighbor, but also that you really want to protect your home for you and Jack, and there's a fear about being kicked out, is what I heard you saying.
Yeah, going to the manager feels really vindictive when we don't even know her.
Mm-hmm. So there's a way that you would really have liked Connie to come to you directly with some concerns that Connie has.
Well, that might have been nice, yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to, I have a couple questions for you around that, Sarah, but I'd like to maybe just hear from Connie first in terms of what's important to her in this conversation, and also really appreciating each of you allowing the other person to speak uninterrupted. And we'll ask you to continue doing so for the time being.
Yeah, she can talk now. That's fine.
So, Connie, what brought you here?
What brought me here was this woman and her son. I've been living in this apartment complex now for about 3 years. The people that have lived above me have always been considerate. And they moved in 3 months ago, and it's been nothing but constant noise. That's all I hear all day, all night from this woman and her son. He runs back and forth across the floor. Like he doesn't just walk, he runs, he stomps. I'm sure he must have trucks or toys of some kind that he rolls back and forth along the floor. It's just constantly grating. She, you know, does her laundry late at night. The wash machine pipes are right by my bed, so when the washer's going and the dryer's going, I can't get to sleep. You know, she's not been approachable. And so, yeah, I've gone to the manager asking them to make, you know, to talk to them, to stop it. I need my rest. I need my peace. It wasn't like that before, so I know that apartment can be a quiet place. It doesn't have to be like constant noise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Connie, I'm hearing that this has been really aggravating for you, that having lived there for 3 years, that it's really significantly different since Sarah moved in, and that it's primarily the noise of sounds like both Jack playing and also laundry that's bothering you. And would you just say a little bit more about how does this affect you? How does the noise impact your life?
Yeah, well, when you can't relax in your own place, it makes me nervous, makes me really anxious. If I can't relax and get the sleep I need, then, you know, I can't do my work job very well. I am retired. I was semi-retired, so I still work part-time. And those hours kind of are sometimes I have to work evening shift, sometimes night shift. They're kind of flexible hours. And if I can't get my sleep, you know, it's pretty upsetting. I I think one of the things that's really annoying is when I'm just settling down, starting to read a book, and then I hear, you know, this commotion of, like, it sounds like a bunch of toys or something is being dropped on the floor, and it's really startling and jarring for me.
Yeah, particularly at the time that you're really looking forward to relaxing into
a time,
the book.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. So both I'm hearing an overall level of anxiety that you're noticing in your body, and then increased challenge in being able to focus when it's time for you to work.
Yeah. I'd like to be able to come home and know I can relax. Right now, I'm just walking in my door. I'm noticing I can't even relax because I don't know what kind of commotion's going to come from up above.
Yeah, and that's, I'm hearing in what you're saying that maybe you also have some sadness about this, just the overall desire to just be able to relax into your own home.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, I want to thank you both for being brief and sharing what you're here to talk about, and tracking a couple of things, different conversations that maybe we can spend a little more time on figuring out. One of them being noise, another being how you communicate with each other. I also think it'd be helpful to discuss the notion of going to the management and, you know, how, you know, what circumstances you would like that to happen or not. And also the, just, you know, your relationship in general. So four topics, sort of an agenda. And, you know, one of them that I wanted to just focus on to begin with is, Sarah, I heard you say your interpretation that Kanye was rude and unfriendly, and I'm wondering if you could just give an example of, you know, what you mean. I imagine hearing that is quite triggering for Kanye, and I think it'd be helpful if you could have a specific example.
Well, I mean, some of the things she just said kind of confirm her rudeness. Like, she says I'm unapproachable. I kind of want to know what that means, but
yeah, so you have some confusion about that.
Yeah, but I mean, so when we first moved in, Jack waved to her. I remember he said to me, he's like, "Mommy, she didn't wave back. Why didn't she wave to me?" And I mean, I didn't say anything to him about it. But I wondered too. We waved to her, we smiled, and she pretty much just ignored us. And so we kind of shrugged and walked upstairs, and that really kind of set us off on the wrong foot. And we've waved to her a lot of times, and she just doesn't even seem to acknowledge us at all. It feels really, really rude. It's as if so we're invisible.
Yeah, sort of baffling for you, trying to reach out to a new neighbor and sort of expecting that friendliness returned.
She doesn't smile. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sounds like, is that something you'd like to understand more from Kanye?
It just seems so rude. It's not what I'm used to. Like, she's clearly not like me. Like, I'm just much more friendly than she is.
Yeah. Not understanding it, your interpretation is that it's rude. And how about for you, Kanye? Could you speak to this?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's not been my experience. I didn't see them reaching out or being, you know, waving or anything. I think maybe what she doesn't know, if she would have talked to me, she would have known, is that I have a pretty significant vision impairment. And so I can't see a lot of times when people do wave or make eye contact with me. I have something kind of similar to macular degeneration, and so I can't see that. And so if you did wave and I didn't see it, I'm sorry. It wasn't that I was trying to be purposefully rude, I think was the word you used. I honest just don't see. So when I'm out and about and having to navigate, I you know, I'm pretty much concentrating on where I'm walking and where I'm going.
So, may feel kind of like a jerk, but I mean, you said we should have just talked to you. Like, how would I have ever known that? I couldn't have just known that.
Well, because I think I did tell you, and I remember tapping on the ceiling with the broom, and normally you would come down and say, what's going on? I can't, you know, the stairs are tricky for me with my
normally,
vision.
Pardon me, both of you. I just wanted to pause for a moment and really emphasize that this is new information for you, Sarah. And to sort of allow that to sink in, that there is a type of vision impairment that Connie has. And I'm guessing, Connie, that if you knew that Sarah was, or Jack were waving and smiling at you, that you would like to return that.
Of course. I have grandchildren. I love children. Mm-hmm. I think that there's a way to work with kids, however, to let them be a little more considerate. But sure, I would have never be rude to Jack.
Hi, you guys. Just to interrupt here a moment, I want to let listeners know this is the Recovery Zone on KBOO Portland. I'm Stephanie Potter, and I'm speaking with Sandy Bachrach, Renee Bouvet, and Stuart Watson. They're doing a sort of role play, a sample role play from where they work at Resolutions Northwest, where they do free mediation for people here in Portland. And this is sort of like how it goes. And we did have, while you guys were doing this, a caller called in. They have neighbor problems, a lot of noise late at night, partying, et cetera. The caller has talked to them over the years. It stops, and then it starts up again, crescendos into the same problem as before. And what can she do? She wants to know. She's off the phone right now. Yeah, oh, that's okay. So anyway, we could carry on with this a little longer, and then I did want to ask more questions about Resolutions Northwest, but is this going to get resolved? It seems like it's really a difficult situation right at this point.
In my estimation, we're about halfway there.
Oh,
because
cool.
They're beginning to learn about each other and see each other as human beings.
Uh-huh, which is a huge part of this.
Yeah. And we, you know, without sort of, you know, playing the rest of it through, we could do that later if it feels useful. Ultimately, we'll focus towards the end of the talk on specific things that each of them would do that would change the way they've been relating to each other. So I can imagine agreements around things that might help minimize the noise of Jack playing, or the Sarah agreeing to do her laundry at different times, and Connie agreeing to let Sarah know if the noise is bothering her directly versus telling the apartment manager or banging the broom on the ceiling.
Right, which usually bugs people too.
Yeah.
And for instance, this neighbor then who's got the this woman who just called in, she says it's sort of the same kind of problem. It starts, it stops, it starts up again, crescendos into the same problem as before. It seems like sometimes when you do talk about it, it's still a problem. And mm-hmm. How does that go?
Yeah, that's very true. In fact, we do have some repeat customers through the years that come back to us. And it might be sometimes people call us and they just want some coaching and some guidance. And sometimes, you know, we encourage them to try to set up a meeting to talk directly with the neighbor. That it always seems to be the highest rate of success. And to make specific agreements with them. But in terms of coaching, would either of you like to say how you'd respond?
We're looking at each other and not.
So I would say that there's really a couple options. One is if this person wants to try to talk with their neighbor again themselves, that I could give some advice about that. Otherwise, they could give us a call, and we would call the neighbor. After talking with her for a bit, we would call the neighbor and say, hey, you know, we received a call from this neighbor of yours, and they really want to work this out with you.
Uh-huh.
And come to a place where you can have, you know, enjoy living next to each other. And we would talk to the neighbor about what their concerns are and what their needs are, and then hopefully set up a meeting to facilitate that conversation. If they wanted to approach the neighbor again themselves...
On their own.
We'll have some... Sandy will share some tips about that.
Yeah, so some possible coaching tips if you wanted to talk to your neighbor directly, and this goes for anyone, including this caller, but anyone, is being really mindful and thoughtful around your own schedule, time of day, sort of your own readiness to have that conversation. So if you're thinking, okay, I've got 5 minutes right now, maybe I'll just go see if they're home, it might be a good idea to wait until you yourself have more time to dedicate to a conversation in case it's longer, so that you're not rushing it. And if you're thinking about that for yourself, it's important to think that for your neighbor. So instead of saying, hey, I need to talk to you, watching them go from their home to their car where they're rushing off to work, being more mindful around, hey, when's a good time that we can talk, and setting up a time with them.
So, and like, as you say, 2 hours is a good time, like having a really long amount of time.
That's ready. A good time for us to do our work, but uh-huh. I would never actually offer for somebody to say to their neighbor, hey, when can we sit down for two hours. Just you and me? I want to talk right. about your noise. No, right. I was thinking more like, you know, just when you and they are not feeling so rushed.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't necessarily even put a time limit on it, or a minimum or maximum, but
right.
more than 5 minutes, some right. sort of spaciousness in your lives.
And similarly, not in the height of your frustration towards them.
Not when you're feeling yeah. really angry.
Yeah, which is probably when the noise is the loudest.
Right.
So some other time when you're not so triggered in yourself.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes I will just sort of cop to this, that sometimes people feel frustrated that we're not a crisis-oriented service. Someone calls us in their heat of their crisis. We don't respond in the same crisis-oriented way. It's important to us that hearts and minds cool just a little bit. We want, you know, to work with passions and to resolve issues. And we know that part of that conflict resolution happens not in the heat of the moment.
And people have different styles. I think, for instance, my own style is maybe conflict averse. I mean, maybe I have some problems with neighbors or something, but I really don't want to do it. I mean, I mm-hmm. just, it's almost like, I don't know, it feels like it's not going to work. It's not going to go anywhere. But then I read that you guys have a 94% satisfaction rate. So things do get worked out, right?
Things do get worked out. And when you actually can push yourself past that edge or through that edge, and see sort of the humanity in the other person, as Stuart said, it changes things. A couple other tips I just wanted to go through is think about maybe what are you willing to do or to give, the same way that you're wanting to ask something from your neighbor. What do you have to offer in this? And the power of listening, providing empathy to the other person, and sort of understanding where they're coming from is extremely powerful. So being willing to ask them questions, not assuming that when, you know, in our role play, my neighbor's banging on the ceiling and my assumptions are, well, she's just a horrible person. She's got her own reasons for what she's doing. The strategies aren't working for me, but they're serving a purpose for her. So coming at a conversation with an openness to hearing what might be going on for the other person, and asking them questions, and being, once you've sort of heard their story, then sharing some of your own story.
So a lot of that is learning to empathize in a certain way with the person, or try to at least understand where they're coming from.
Yeah, keeping a real openness, and that's only going to be possible when we're not sort of reacting in the heat right. of the moment,
or rushing in immediately with our demand of how they change. Mm-hmm. If we have certain requests of them, having that come after a couple minutes at least of just expressing how things are affecting us and hearing, you know, how it is for them.
Mm-hmm. Do you just run into sometimes, though, people go, well, it's affecting them like that, but I don't care, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I guess I would like to respond. You had said that you personally, there's sort of a lot of anxiety about, do I even want to, like, confront,
get it started,
confront it. And I just want to acknowledge that that's really normal, that it is can be really scary for a lot of people because they don't know. It's unknown. It's not familiar. And so it can be really, it feels like taking a huge risk to start a process. So one of the things that if you have something on your mind that you feel is you know, uncomfortable for you, call us. We can just talk to you. We don't have to take it any further than that.
We don't have to contact the neighbor
without your permission. What you share with us is confidential. We can just talk on the phone and get a feel for, you know, is this the right moment in time for you? Are there other options that we could explore together? So that it's just a chance for you to sort of test the waters with us. See if it's a style and a model that feels comfortable for you. If not, that's okay. But to just take that initial step and to reach out and see what might happen.
And the satisfaction rate of 94%, that actually usually happens in those 2 hours that you spend with the people, or even in the little bit of what you first you'll do conflict coaching, right? Just let the person to talk on their own with the person. And second is to do the where you get the two people in the same room together.
I think what our style tends to be that we may spend a little bit more time with each of you, or if there's more than that, on the phone, having a private confidential conversation with you first, and then with your permission we'll contact the neighbor and have another private conversation with them, and with their permission maybe share a little bit more. And so we do a lot of back and forth by the phone first to prepare people for success at the what we call the table. So when they come together, they really have a pretty good idea of what the mediation process is like, what's a little bit of idea of what's going on for their neighbors, how the situation is impacting each other. And we start to encourage them before they even come to the table to think of creative ways that this could get resolved. So, you know, it can be as fast a process or as slow a process as y'all need to make it a successful thing for y'all.
And speaking of success, I just wanted to jump on that success rate piece. That 94% of satisfied customers doesn't actually refer to how many mediations have agreements. So they don't all have agreements, but people still feel satisfied. I mean, we just heard even in this little mock that we were presenting that new information is provided, a greater sense of what's happening across the hall or to your next door neighbor, above you, below you. People are happy for just having tried. So going to what you were saying, Stephanie, about, you know, the fears of having the conversation, those fears absolutely are normal, sometimes justified. And on the other hand, just having those conversations, doing something that's for most of us so radically different than what we usually do can feel like a success. It feels like a win.
So it's just beginning to understand, for instance, that the woman downstairs couldn't see them made her understand her a little bit more.
We could end the session right there and we could still have noise problems, but something would have shifted.
Yeah,
we actually have closer to an 80% rate of people coming up with specific agreements at the end of each session. So that means there's 14% more that didn't walk away with agreements but were satisfied. And I think a big part of that is that in addition to whatever is troubling us, that we have such a great desire to just be heard for how things affect us.
Right.
And to be heard by the other person. And that is satisfying in itself.
That's impressive. And the other thing about this, though, so you're being heard and things are more or less being worked out. But one thing that this whole program is, it's not psychology exactly, and it's also not a court system set up at all. It's very different somehow from either of those. It's sort of in between those somehow.
Exactly. Yeah. When people go towards the courts or having some outside entity enforce something, that there's a lot of things that happen. But one of them is that it takes the process and the decision making out of their hands and puts it in somebody else's hands. And it's usually much more costly in both in terms of finances and time. And one of the things that we hear a lot from people who have tried to address things in court and ended up in mediation is that they thought that they were going to sort of have their say and have a some type of judge validate their concerns, their story, and they realized that that doesn't really happen.
In court.
Yeah. In court, it's a different process. They're solely focused on what are the legal implications of this and making a ruling based on that. They're not that interested in how people
feel.
So people walk away from that dissatisfied and usually, anywhere from a few hundred dollars to several thousand dollars lighter.
Right. And also to emphasize, Resolutions Northwest is free. Yeah.
For the neighborhood mediation services.
Right.
Yeah. And distinguishing it from counseling, it's interesting. We talk about this a lot. A lot of the skills that we use are also used by counselors, and it's a different purpose. We're oriented towards short-term problem solving so that, you know, we will work with people around what they're experiencing, what their values are, what their emotions are. But ultimately, we're coming back to the practicalities of what specifically are each of you going to do in order to live next to each other with more peace and civility, and when are you going to do it, and what happens if you don't do that, and really making sure there's firm,
real concrete stuff.
Agreements.
Yeah.
We don't tend to go back into working more internally with somebody about, you know, their childhood.
My mother never loved me.
Family dynamics.
Yeah, got it.
I guarantee it's a part of everything that we're doing, but we often don't directly address that unless parties bring it up.
So I just want to let listeners know, again, you're tuned to KBOO Portland. This is the Recovery Zone. We're talking about an agency here in Portland called Resolutions Northwest that provides free and low-cost mediation services to neighbors, tenants, landlords, co-workers. Maybe you have a problem with a co-worker. There's still some time if you'd like to call in, maybe to get some coaching tips from the people here. The number here is 503-231-8187, Resolutions Northwest, here on KBOO Portland. And so some of the useful skills, there's core values I was reading that you guys also include in this whole thing that have to do with basically respect and safety and fairness and things like that. Could you talk a little about those and how you make those actually happen?
Yeah, thanks for asking. There's a lot of core values by which we operate, and I think Resolutions Northwest is unique in the country, and that we also have a lens of social, racial equity for all the work that we do. So we have, understanding, respect, equity, safety. Those are some of our core values, but and they lead into a bit about the various other services that we offer. So if you don't mind, I'd like to just take a moment.
Yeah, let's do that, because we're going to be out of time in about 10 or 15 minutes.
Okay.
Here.
Would you mind, Sandy?
Yeah, so in addition to our free mediation, neighborhood mediation services, and other low-cost and fee-based mediation services, we've also recently merged with another nonprofit called Uniting to Understand Racism, which provides 6-week dialogues between primarily mixed race groups, about half white, half people of color. And they're offered for the community at large, also businesses. That comes with a curriculum in the school systems called Beyond the Oregon Trail. And we also sort of merged with Uniting to Understand Racism. We've also amplified our restorative justice services in schools. So there are, I don't remember now, a handful, maybe more than a handful of schools in Portland Public, as well as in the Park Rose District, that provides restorative justice, which is really a new way of thinking about disciplining kids. It's actually moving away from discipline and moving into inclusion efforts. So instead of suspending or expelling kids for small and large infractions, really working to keep kids in school so that they're not more likely to end up basically in our prison system.
And is this happening at schools all over Portland, or just a couple of them? Or
just a couple at this point. Uh-huh. They're not in every school.
Which schools are those?
I'm not going to get them all, I'm sure. I know that we are in Boise and Beaumont, Wrigler, and Park Rose. And I know that there are others as well.
David Douglas.
Oh, thank
that
you.
Like, that's quite
Grant
a few,
High, yeah. Several schools, not all of them, of course. We also have facilitation services. So some of those services are free, sort of like our mediation services. So we can come to neighborhood association meetings and provide facilitation for those. We also, you may see us if you go to a public hearing. Sometimes we provide facilitation for public hearings. And we could also...
So facilitation in terms of, like, how is that different than mediation? Just bigger groups?
Yes.
Or? Okay.
Large groups of people, such as thinking about siting a new homeless service center in a neighborhood, and some of the neighborhood is concerned and worried about that. So that kind of thing. Recently worked with Woodlawn in terms of whether or not to have their park be off-leash dog area.
Right. Dog walkers versus people who want to just sit in the grass. Yeah.
Things that affect multiple people. Yeah. So we use a lot of the same mediation skills, but in a large group, it sometimes looks a little bit different. We can help with sort of the project design, which is basically a fancy way of saying, how do we make sure that people's voices are heard? When you come to a public meeting, you want to feel like you're heard, same like when you come to a mediation. So we can set it up so that more people are heard by doing large group processes, taking turns to come to the mic, sometimes small groups with report out, but we can help set that up. And I think we do a pretty good job of that as well. We have a lot of volunteers in that program as well. We have staff as well as a volunteer program to be facilitators with Resolutions Northwest.
And all of these are mostly volunteer facilitators, volunteer mediators. Except you guys are staff people, obviously, but a lot of the people that do this work are volunteers.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have a great mix. I would say that's part of one of the values that you were talking about. It's that the community comes together to solve the community problems. So we do it as well as staff, and we help guide those programs and services, also staff, but it's also really important that volunteers, that people within the community are coming forward to help other people within the community. So it's not trying to take away a piece of that power element. That's part of why the city wants to invest in training community members to do this work, so that it's on all of us.
Do you have like a backlog of cases then, or are you pretty much overwhelmed sometimes with all the problems that you're running into?
We love the action.
It can happen, but I think there are a lot of people maybe more like you that are afraid to bring up the conflict, so we could definitely take more on.
Oh, that's great.
I'm wondering, would it be helpful if maybe the three of us describe maybe some typical kinds of neighbor cases that would...
Yeah, let's get some examples.
I'll brainstorm a little bit. So I'm thinking that we get concerns around barking dogs.
Barking dogs.
We get concerns around property lines, where the property line is, whose fence is it, how the fence is going to be repaired or not repaired.
Parking.
Parking. Basketball hoops.
Trees.
What do you do about trees, though? They're chopped down and they're gone.
Bamboo.
Or if someone wants a tree chopped down, somebody doesn't want a tree chopped down?
Yes, yeah. Very common.
Sometimes it's about finding out what's so important about the tree being up or down, and if there's another way to meet those needs.
Yeah. Can you all think of other cases for some reason?
Well, say workplace stuff. What goes on there?
Yeah, workplace, which is not in our free neighbor mediation program.
Oh, okay.
But we do provide mediation for workplace conflicts. And we've tended over the years to work a lot with the nonprofits and government agencies and in terms of really challenges that peers are having with each other or a supervisor and somebody they're supervising. There's anything from in terms of private workplaces, a lot of the times we're working with co-owners of a business who are struggling to make decisions together, and any others you can think of, Renee?
Oh gosh, no, just any conceivable conflict that two people can have,
right,
that shows up in the workplace.
Like, even like merchant customer situations, somebody gets a bad product from somebody.
Yeah.
And then you guys go in and make it better again?
Well, we invite the conversation. We see if people are willing to sit down and have that dialogue as opposed to doing a small claims.
And we also have a robust training and education program. So I also need to mention that because in workplaces, for example, we're often contracted to come provide training on conflict resolution.
To the whole office or to the whole,
to office or staff on what creates a respectful work environment or what are some key terms that people can use together to have difficult conversations.
And landlord-tenant is another one that you guys deal with. What are you running into with those?
Oh, the whole range of things and communicating around repairs that need to be done and the timing of them, the raises in rent, and sometimes people feel they're applied inequitably to them versus others in the complex.
Who's on the lease?
Yeah.
Getting your deposit back.
Getting your deposit back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's pretty much the gamut of anything that can go wrong in an interaction with anybody is what you guys are...
Anytime people have a difficult conversation, we can help it be more productive.
And if people want to find out more, where can they go? Like Resolutions Northwest, you're on the web?
Yeah, Resolutions Northwest, it's all spelled out, both North and West, and we're a .org. So if you just Google Resolutions Northwest or just go to resolutionsnorthwest.org, we're there. They can also call us at 503-595-4890. Again, it's 503-595-4890.
And you have some upcoming happenings I saw on your website, too. What are some of those?
Well, we've got... We've got trainings happening in Spanish, two conflict resolution and communications trainings in Spanish, and on two Saturdays in September. We have an Interrupting Racism for Everyday Living happening, so it's a good practice opportunity to practice interruptions. That'll be late October. Early October is an Unlearning Oppressions. We also have many other trainings.
Yeah, we're going to begin... promoting our annual basic mediation training. It's a full 35-hour training, which members of the public can participate in as well.
And that's not the lottery. Anybody can do that?
Anybody can do that as a paid participant.
And what does that cost?
That is still being negotiated within house.
Figuring it out. But it's 35 hours, like on weekends or something?
Yeah, we've tended to do it on a couple Wednesday evenings and on two full Fridays and Saturdays.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and that is start to finish all the basic skills of, that are needed to become a mediator.
And then if someone took that training, they could become a volunteer mediator with you?
If somebody took that training, they could be prepared to do mediations, hopefully with somebody else that's experienced. But to use some of the skills in their workplace and their family.
Uh-huh.
In terms of mediating as a volunteer for us...
They need to go through the year program.
The year-long program,
right.
Yes.
And that starts again in January.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We'll be accepting applications for that in probably October.
Uh-huh. mm-hmm. and get that going. Well, it sounds like there's definitely a lot of stuff going on here with you guys. Resolutions Northwest, right here in Portland. And where are you, actually? Northeast Portland?
We're located in the Hollywood District, uh-huh. but we can provide mediation services all over the city. We just don't go to people's homes because we look for neutral locations.
Right. That sounds like safe. Okay, so I just want to let listeners know you've been tuned to KBOO Portland. This is the Recovery Zone, and my guests today have been Sandy Backrack, the Spanish Language Services Coordinator at Resolutions Northwest, Renee Bouvet, Mediation Specialist at Resolutions Northwest, and Stuart Watson, who is the Neighborhood Mediation Program Coordinator at Resolutions Northwest. It's a nonprofit mediation provider. It's the largest in Oregon. A lot of its services are free or else very low cost, including mediation training, youth conflict resolution, and facilitation services. This has been the Recovery Zone on KBOO Portland. I'm Stephanie Potter. Thanks, Tammy, for your engineering, and thanks for listening.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Okay.
It's 12 o'clock. You're tuned to KBOO Portland. That's it for public affairs programming for today. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland Saturday Market, From Our Hands to Yours, celebrating 41 years of American arts and crafts. Freshly prepared foods with an international flavor and local music every Saturday and Sunday from March 1st through Christmas Eve in Waterfront Park. Local artisans, international food, live music, PortlandSaturdayMarket.com. Also by Northwest Connector, connecting riders to the Oregon coast through daily round-trip bus routes from Portland, Salem, and Corvallis. Northwest Connector buses are equipped with bike racks and offer 3-day and 7-day passes with transfers up and down the coast. Schedules and trip planner at nwconnector.net. Stay tuned for jazz with Charlie today. That'll be fun, following the noon news headlines. Thanks for tuning in to KBOO today.
This is KBOO Headline News for Wednesday, August 27th, 2014. I'm Diane Erickson.
And I'm Patrick Wilson. eBay has some 200 employees at its headquarters in Portland. Its growth plans anticipate another 200 being added at the downtown office. During the past year, the Portland Group developed apps worth $202 billion of commerce, which translates to one-third of eBay's marketplace.